Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, we are on episode 60. We're 40 off 100, which we're going to get very soon. As always, I always like to say before I get into the introduction of the podcast, thank you so much to everyone for all the DMs, all the tweets, all the emails that you've been sending on the podcast. It's actually the beauty of podcasts is that, you know, I have people emailing me like, oh, I've listened to episode 12 or oh, I've listened to episode 32. I'm going to go back there and listen to them all. So thank you so much to everyone who's taken the time to send a tweet or a DM or an email. Really appreciate it. Nothing nicer than hearing that you're listening to the podcast and that you're enjoying it and that you're learning something from it. Not only am I learning, you guys are learning as well. So thank you so much. Episode 60, we had a wonderful guest on this week who was in to talk about his incredible brand, Bipolar Bear Wear. Steve Considine was in with me in the studio this week to talk about all things art, creativity, and how he got to creating this brand. Really, really great chat, really insightful, really powerful, and really relevant to what's going on right now. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So without further ado, I will let you all go and enjoy episode 60 of the First Exchange podcast with Bipolar Bear Wear. Steve, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure.
We must thank straight off the bat our mutual friend Dean Barry, who was the person who was like, you need to get Steve on to talk all about Bipolar Bear Wear. And I was like, oh my God, I know this guy. I know it's 100%. So Dean and his girlfriend Hayley were getting him in. So I was delighted that you said yes when I asked you.
You might regret it, and Dean might. I don't know why he wants to hear me talk.
because I am always to Hayley Hayley Pearl Quinn, who was on early episode of the podcast as well. Dean and Hayley obviously are my teammates, and Dean owns Ankle Jiu-Jitsu in Arklow, shout out. But I'm always saying to Hayley when we like go for coffees and different things, who should I get on? Please, I know you all know like really interesting people. And so that was the shout.
Yeah, there's some characters down there.
Absolutely.
Arklow, yeah.
And I had to get someone from Arklow in. That's yeah. Represents.
Big up A-Town. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dino, if you're listening. Dino's an inspiration in many senses. He's very articulate and logical and inspirational. And even just playing football and like any sport he put his mind to or anything he puts his mind to, he's exceptional at it. So
yeah, absolutely.
I hold him in high regard.
Well, he will be very happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk at the beginning. Obviously, the reason that you're here is for Bipolar Bear Wear, which is a very, very cool brand that I want you to tell all our listeners about. And then we'll go into the who, what, when, where, whows from that.
Okay. Yeah, so Bipolar Bear Wear is a clothing brand. Well, it began as a clothing brand. And it's kind of meandered into a few separate things, to me anyway, personally.
Yeah.
It's to create mental health awareness and also to create funding for mental health services. There's been a tidal wave or tsunami of mental health or mental illness, anxiety, fear, mongering, etc. in the last year. Mm-hmm. And so what began as a clothing brand in 2016 with two friends, Luke Bulmer and Cameron Ridyard, started morphing into, we started doing blogs and asking people to write blogs. Mm-hmm. And then that's just to give people a voice so that other people could, like we were just writing our stories and, you know, everyone's so unique and but also very alike. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to get other people, as many people involved as possible, to have their voice and their expression. So writing is a form of art, but we also mm-hmm. get artists in to express themselves on t-shirts. And also, you know, there's an art page there for, you know, if it's a musician, mm-hmm. they'll share a mix or a new song they wrote or whatever. And yeah, basically it began as clothing. And to me, I've always looked at clothing as another wall. As a graffiti artist, I'm like, okay, try to get your name on walls or just try to get your name on loads of t-shirts. That's very egotistical, but it's walls are, you know, blank yeah. canvases, and so is clothes. And I think clothing, to me, it's the perfect platform for mental health awareness mm-hmm. because it can open up a dialogue, because I hope you're wearing clothes, man. Yeah. But I'd prefer if you're wearing clothes. That's not everyone. Not for everyone. But we wanted the logo to become an emblem or just a conversation starter, you know. Mm. I always pride myself and I pride other people on speaking honestly, and I hope that we can inspire people to do that, and that the clothes can start that, you know, conversations like, how are you really feeling today?
Yeah.
And don't give me any of that grand, I'm grand, I don't want to hear that. And we've got a couple of bits of feedback to say that the clothes has started a conversation like that, which is cool. And I don't know, these things are, you can never measure them, which is a lovely thing as well.
Yeah.
There's no views or clicks or whatever. It's just hope. And so it's transformed. We've raised about 25,000 for mental health services.
Wow,
at the moment.
Congratulations.
I thought that would be millions by now. But in more recent times, you know, we've got great artists on, like one, Dean, a guy I hold in such high regard, is a graffiti artist, Aches.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always helping,
he is one cool dude.
Yeah, but he's very cool, but he's just got the same kind of goals,
yes.
you know, and he's
always
trying to help in many ways. And there's been so many other artists. We've got a few really good ones lined up, people coming together and always mm-hmm. trying to say, hey, Steve, do you want a hand with this?
Yeah.
Like, my friends are phenomenal. Like, I'm a... whatever, I don't really care about money, but I'm an absolute billionaire with friends.
Yes.
That's the kind of, everyone's kind of getting involved. And then, like, in the last while, like, I have a ton of diagnoses, so I don't really know which one applies, but I get dark spells.
Yeah.
And I always notice that I'd go, like, if I had the motivation, I'd go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for something. I didn't even realise I'd be looking for something, but I'd be looking for a conversation that's never going to happen, or I'd be looking for a sign. And I remember, I can't remember what country I was in, but I seen they had signs on the bridges, you know, for call Samaritans and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well, more recently, and I've started doing signs then around Dublin and Cork and stuff, for those that are looking for them. For someone mm-hmm. that's not looking for them, they might mean nothing. But these are, I'll have, you know, a little billboard or a little poster to say somebody will relate, or you matter, or you're not alone. And there's always a signpost there to say, here's Pieta House's number, here's Talk to Tom's number. And it's the people I never hear from that I'm worried about.
Mm.
So that the signs are kind of for them. So that's kind of, it's kind of graffiti in a sense, and it's also a little fuck you to advertising as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking over some of them spaces, or not me, other people are taking over on behalf of me. I put them posters, you can download those posters and put them up yourself. Can you edit that? No, I'm only joking, it's okay. I'm trying to get the... I was just constantly worried, and it's really horrible. I get some people I message that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Like, and it's constant. It's the people that don't, and I'm like, and the government and whoever, the fact of charity or the fact we even have to do this is wrong.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what do you feel is lacking, the most overwhelming part that is lacking from our government services?
Government services is the complete lack of.
Yes.
There's waiting lists. Like, I've had friends, I've had people I don't know just saying about the waiting lists, and I know of, oh, this is it's grim enough, but they're too long and people don't last sometimes.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they don't care. They know this is happening, and they're hiding. And I'm 1,000% sure they're hiding a lot of things right now. Yeah,
you can be sure they are.
Yeah,
release those figures,
please do, because I know I can only control what's in front of me, and I'm seeing a lot in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything else, but this is incredible, or not incredible, is definitely the wrong word, but it's an absolute pandemic. And you know, if you look at the figures, this is not conspiracy. Mm-hmm. This is me talking about what I can see.
Yeah.
I just on the weekend, I was painting for a teenage mental health foundation, and a lady came up. She said, "What's this about?" And we started chatting to her, and then she was telling me she started crying, and she was just saying that 3 weeks ago she was thinking about taking her own life, and she said she's never struggled with anything before. It was just nice that she felt like talking to me, because I don't know don't know who else I'm walking by that's like that.
Yeah.
And there's another story from 2 weeks ago of a lad down the pier who was rescued, and then I know a lot of others that.
And as I came into the studio today, a friend of mine, Paddy Douglas, texted me to say that he was on a beach this morning and a woman was being pulled out of the water.
Oh, Jesus.
So you know. And I again, like you say, about I can only talk about what's in front of me. Mm. I too can only talk about what's in front of me. And I have yet to meet a friend or family member who's gotten coronavirus or has died from coronavirus. Mm. But I can give you on two hands right now, close friends to me who have either been considering suicide, have lost someone to suicide, or who are in a very dark place right now due to this lockdown. And that's not to say that I'm not being conspiracy theory and saying like coronavirus isn't real, but this is my reality. And it's the pandemic after the pandemic, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You said something very interesting there when you were explaining so eloquently about bipolar bearware. But you said that you were, you know, constantly looking for a sign.
Mm.
What did you mean by that?
A reason, I think. Mm. I think, and that's part of this pandemic, the mental health pandemic, is if you've no reason, then what are you looking, you know, what are you?
Absolutely.
You can make your own reasons, and I've made my own reasons, but I was devoid of them for a long time. And I know a lot of people are, but I also, that's a lot to do with this wave, is that there's a lot of people have been stripped of reason.
Yeah.
The things that made them get up in the morning, the things that made them, even for celebrations of living, like, and commemorations of death, we're not allowed. These are part of life, you know, and we're completely stripped of that. For what? You know, like, so that's the sign I would be looking for, is someone to tell me it's like that. I don't know. Be honest with you, like, I'm quite a nihilist, and sometimes I struggle with these thoughts, and the signs I'm looking for are meaning, as well as, you know, I don't think, too dark, but I don't think, like, there's not reason for us, like, both you can make your own, and then sometimes I get lost, and I'm looking for a purpose. Like, one of my favourite quotes is Picasso's, "Don't butcher this now, Stephen." The meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away.
Absolutely.
You just find what, you find your thing, whether it be knitting. Like, my mum is a brilliant knitter, and she'd be delighted to hear this. And then, you know, she started knitting a lot now that she had to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and then she knits for people, and I don't know if she realises, or have I even talked to her about it, but, you know, she's knitting for babies, she's knitting for everyone.
And that's knitting for Ireland.
Yeah, man, anything. She done the little Michael D. Higgins tea cozy for my birthday last
year. Wow, yeah, no way.
I was like, ma'am, you can actually sell these. Like,
They will go down a treat.
But she's kind of the same as me. She just wants to do it for enjoyment. It's never for money. It's always for love. Yeah.
So that's where you get your creative streak from.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's an inspiration to me in many, many forms. So, yeah.
Amazing.
But she does. She never realised, but she gives these things to people for free to get there. It gives her a reason and it gives her enjoyment to see other people enjoy it. So it's that's, I think, when we strip back, I think that's what we're here to do.
But you must have had people say to you, especially since launching Bipolar Bearware, that, you know, you are the quintessential Picasso quote there, in that, you know, you've found the reason, you're giving back, you're doing something of sense and meaning and purpose, and you're helping not only your community but the wider community with that as well. And it's a very selfless thing to do, you know.
It's I'm caught in this philosophical paradox of, like,
dive in.
Yeah, well, like, it makes me feel better, doesn't it, as well?
Yes,
you know,
yes,
but it's not.
Yes,
it's not.
But you could be doing a lot of things that just make you feel good, you know.
Oh my god. Why did I never realize this? I've been caught with that for years. Oh, thanks so much.
No problem.
Job's going to cut the tape. I was trying to take my own life maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I'm very lucky I didn't. So I have to be for any breath I take, I owe to my friends and family, and to the people, to mental health services, St John of God's, most definitely, and St Patrick's mental health services. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be alive without them. So. I'm here to give back to them. Sometimes I drift from that, and sometimes I forget to be grateful that I'm alive. I used to say thanks every day, and then I've kind of get caught up in my own business, and sometimes I forget to be as friendly to my friends as I should, and to my mom and stuff, or my family, and the money, then the brand is to try to give back to those that help me, and that will help others.
Absolutely. Yeah. How does it make you feel when you look back at 7-8 years ago when you were in that place?
I'm very grateful for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you grateful that you went through it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. Definitely.
Why is that?
It's the juxtaposition. I feel like I can. I'm like a. Seeing the clouds change colour and stuff, and just seeing a little, I don't know, like a caterpillar, knowing that it's going to be a butterfly, or like just trees and everything is just so lovely now that I know how bad it can be.
Yeah.
And even like a cup of tea and stuff, you can't take them for granted.
Yeah.
And I suppose it helped me to understand people as well. And I think I'm very lucky to have that. Because
what did you get from that? What understanding did you get?
Well, like the way the psychologist taught me, I acted in a certain way because of certain things that happened in my life.
Yeah.
And then I realised then that that's what other people do. So sometimes they'll meet an absolute fucking prick. And I'll understand why. I'll make a massive assumption that will make me feel okay with it.
Yes.
And I'll nearly be laughing at it, but there's it just helps me understand. I used to be, I think I was like begrudging of some people and hated other people. And there's no, why would I hate someone? You know, there's no, why am I here? Why would I do that?
Yeah.
And it's just, I think that put things into perspective in me for that sense. That was a weird sentence. Everyone wants to be loved, even the, like, you know.
100%.
Yeah, and there's no reason for you not to.
Mm.
And if someone isn't being nice, I sound like a baby, but if someone's not being nice, you know, there's a good reason why.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that helps. That helps with just living in a world full of humans.
It does help. It does help. And I had a very similar experience with my own experiences with therapy, in that I felt like it alleviated a lot of the shame and the self-hatred that I had had for myself. And I kind of had a lot of compassion for myself. And through that compassion with myself, I found a lot of compassion for other people. And then I had to kind of analyze it again, because I found myself having too much compassion for people who were just arseholes, you know, understanding them, but then going, but fucking why am I still here? Understand them and shag off. Do you know what I mean? So, but again, it's all that learning experience. It's the learning curve. It's understanding yourself, other people. And like that, when you can separate, you know, your own emotions and feelings from it, and you look at people in your communities in the world, and you just see that people are just running around kind of like headless chickens, just like desiring to be loved and not really knowing or understanding, you know, what's going on inside them, whether it's their, you know, the physical end of their bodies or the emotional standpoint.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you're on the same wavelength there, because I don't really talk to people about what I just said, and it would be interesting to see how emotionally intelligent, like if the whole world became emotionally intelligent, yes. Imagine what would happen.
Mm.
I don't know, on a grand scale of how people would, if people understood people, then how would we all act?
Absolutely. Know? And sometimes as well, I feel that I don't feel like I am intelligent when it comes to, you know, technically breaking down the mind or whatever thing. Well, this is classic X, or this is classic, you know, I can't do that. I only have my own experiences. But sometimes when I look at someone and I look at how they're acting or how they are in the world, I just simplify it as they haven't done the work. That's all I can put it down to. They haven't gone through that pit of fire where you're literally just left raw and you're like, what even is this? You know?
I'm the exact same. I was like, you muggle. You. I was like, I'm always, like even when I'm talking to someone, I'd be, you know, fairly open. I'm like, oh, you haven't been to therapy?
Well, yeah.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I'm like, it's the best thing ever. I remember when I found therapy for the first time, I had found therapy and jiu-jitsu all in the same year.
Oh, brilliant.
So, and that's obviously how I know Dean and Hayley. Again, we're referencing Dean Barry, a mutual friend of myself and Steve's, who owns Ankle Jiu-Jitsu in Arklow. But when I had found jiu-jitsu and therapy in the same year, like I will never forget that feeling. It was like being saved and reborn, and like it was the most exhilarating year of my life. And I was still very much broken, but it was that glimmer of hope. I now knew how to get better. I now knew that this was the steps that I needed to take in order to get me into the place where I wanted to be. And it worked out. I trusted my gut. I trusted jiu-jitsu. I trusted therapy. I trusted eating clean. I trusted like that lifestyle. And I got there. And now I look back to my 20s and I don't recognize that person anymore. I don't know her. I know she's still in me. I know that if I don't keep on what I call my side of the bargain, that she will come back. And my side of the bargain is to keep exercising, to eat well, to, you know, go back to therapy if I feel like I'm slipping or things are getting a little bit overwhelming, you know, to meditate, to journal, to be creative, to constantly work and try to be better. These are all little things that will help me progress and get me to that place where I want to go.
Yeah, and do you, that's perfect. Like, do you feel, sounds cliche, but do you feel like a stronger person, like more equipped or resilient from this? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like there's nothing I can't face, because I was at the very pit of despair. Mm. Very pit. And, you know, I'm lucky in a sense that that the suicidal thoughts were there. I never acted on them, because I always still had something in me that there. I must have been some hope in my subconscious. There must have been something there. But I self-harmed in every sense of the word, whether it's from drugs, alcohol, actual self-harming, you know, like toxic relationships, you name it, I done it. But one of the kind of the toxic traits of all of that was that I never felt that I was strong enough to be alone. And never, like, I needed friends. I needed loads of friends. I always needed to be in a relationship. Now I look back on it, I probably was terrified of my own thoughts. Didn't want to be alone because I didn't want to go there and have to explore it. And when I was faced with it and had no choice but to be alone and to sit and face every demon that, you know, at the time it was, I was 30 at the time. So every demon for 30 years to be just it put in front of me and to have to go through the fire by just doing jiu-jitsu and therapy and like and sitting with it, as opposed to like finding a vehicle of drugs or alcohol or men or whatever it might be. Not that I was like way off with a load of men for years. Ah. Like, you know, see me in the brothel.
Keep yourself occupied.
But you know what I'm trying to say. But when I got through it, then it made me feel so empowered. And I don't mean it to sound in the negative way that it will probably sound, but I kind of got the sense of I actually don't need anybody. I'm enough. I'm okay to face this world on my own. Now that I've come, you know, more and more out of that, I realize that I'm able to do this on my own, but it's a lot better having really good friends and really good relationships and having better relationships with your family and so on. But that power of knowing that I can stand tall alone in this world was, money will never take that away from me.
It's kind of nearly dangerous. It's like I went through the same and I'm like, I'm so happy on my own. Yeah. Like from absolute, and I was just chatting to someone recently about, you know, when the music goes out.
Yes.
You know, it's 2:30 or 3:00. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that drop in your stomach.
I'm like, oh, I have to go home now. Hopefully not on my own. But if so, I'm just going to be left without chipper. Just go, and then that kind of happened for everyone last year. If the music went out and you're like, yeah, now you can't escape from your thoughts. You can go hoovering and try to hoover out them thoughts or put on music. But nah, man, you're going to have to sit there and, you know, learn to get good company with yourself.
Yes.
And just from what I can see, I'm lucky my friends are, well, my friends seem to have done well from it. You know, they might have struggled at the start, but we were all put in a psychiatric ward last year. If anyone knows, if anyone's been in one, they'll know that this is, we were well prepared for that. We were like, go on, my son. It's like a little holiday. We've got a year-long holiday now. But a lot of other people that weren't prepared for that were put into that, and they were like, okay, I need to make good company with myself or else I'm gonna completely self-sabotage. And yeah, just back to kind of what's currently happening, I haven't seen it on the media stuff. I just have very good friends that are nurses and they're telling me that a lot of people were like in the hospital, it's like one or two cases of COVID or, you know, and but the rest was people, alcohol abuse and people attempted suicides was what they were dealing with. Now I don't know why that's not on, I don't even see it on Twitter, which is funny, and I wanted to tweet it but I'm not, I have to still see it as well. But these are my friends, but these are the people I met someone in Cork, they're clearing out tons of bottles from a house and I said, oh, is that a big party? And he goes, no, bye.
It's the end of the week.
No, he was like, no, this is my friend who's been heavily drinking and he's going to get the help he needs now. I'm clearing out the house for him. And it's just that's, you either, a lot of people either sank or swam, and I'm obviously worried about the people that were sinking.
Yes. Why do you think that it's not more commonly in our media? Because there's obviously, you know, you can go down a conspiracy rabbit hole end, and then you can also look at where I would look at that, you know, the Irish, I don't even know how to properly execute it, but that there's so much money made from drink in this country, cigarettes, like I don't even know if that is a thing, but I just struggle to understand why mental health is not taken more seriously in this country and why they're not doing as much fear mongering as they're doing with coronavirus.
Mm.
You know, what is the reason for that? I still don't understand.
I don't know, man. They're feeding people that want to. Some people have been looking for this, and I think they're feeding them people. I don't think. Like I remember with Trump, when Trump was, you know, evicted from the Big Brother house or whatever. You know, there's so many people out of jobs, and so many people out of not going to be able to put the kids through college because of you. And like, if you don't realize that these are people that want to put their kids through college or want to buy that fancy car, that are selling you these stories, like, obviously there's truth, but they need to vamp it up.
Yeah.
And does, is it as romantic, you know, are people going to make a movie about this, about the, you know, suicide rate increasing, or does it fit in this narrative? I remember people saying 2020, the worst year ever. I can think of many, like 1939, if you think sitting at home getting paid to fucking sit there bollock naked, you know, you've got a kettle right there, you've got hot water.
Yeah.
You think this is the worst year.
Yeah.
And that's what the people have been told.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, seriously, go think about it. If you're landing on a beach in Normandy, I would say that's a worse year.
And you're 14.
Yeah, you're 14 years old. Yeah. You've got rats running around you.
Yeah.
You know, this is, but that's the story. And people, horrible thing to say, but some people can't think for themselves.
It's not a very horrible thing to say. It's a very accurate thing to say.
No, it's horrible to see it, though.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's, this year has brought up, or last year brought up a lot for me in that I went from just quietly focusing on myself to kind of shouting down people's phones, wake up, you know, think for yourself, what are you talking about? And I lost a lot of people because of it, you know, that like we're not ready to be brave enough to just go, hang on a minute here now, what's going on? And again, I'm not alluding in any way that like there's some wild conspiracy theories out there, and it's not that, but you have to logically look at this and
logic,
and logic keyword.
Yeah,
logic is the key word in this.
Logic is, and I don't know how people are so content with a lack of it. Like, I get that there's a flu going around.
Yeah.
But you can't have one rule for one set and one rule for another. Or like, just, I'm just back from a funeral and like, it's breaking my heart not to be able to console my friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, commemorate. You know, this gets me, my auntie died last month and I didn't get to, you know, grieve the way on. There's just countless stories that to me just make me angry.
Yes.
I can't do... I'll do as I want, because I'll respect the flu, but or the virus, but none of it makes any sense.
It doesn't.
The lockdown restrictions, and we're quietly content.
This is something very important that you've breached on, because I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day about this, and I was getting so frustrated wanting to know how people are so okay with being just so complacent about this. And just, you know, there are people out there who are pro lockdown. They don't want the lockdown to end. Like, there's groups on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but I was shown them. I couldn't quite believe the groups. It was like, lock them down, like have, you know, police on every border in every county in the country, shut the airports, shut down everything, like this kind of zero COVID approach, as it were. And you have to wonder, you know, where are you in life when you are so happy to have the country shut down like that?
It's mass psychosis. It's mass psychosis that the we've like some people have lost people to this. Yeah. It's like a witch hunt. Mm. You know, you're breaking, like people want people to slip up, and it's like a witch hunt in the sense of, oh, you're a witch, you know, and this is what they've been looking, people have spent their lives looking for this.
Yeah, it's a fascinating watch, isn't it?
It is, but even if you look at it, I am very bad with politics and history,
yeah,
and actually knowing things.
Yeah.
But if you just look at like Nazism.
Yes. It's a great terminology.
Nazism.
A plus.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence about that Hitler guy. Yeah. I know, but you know what I mean? That it was like, if you weren't a Nazi, you're getting burnt at the stake.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's logical.
Yes.
And it's the same. It's happened throughout history.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. And God damn you if you speak up against it.
Mm.
That's which is so scary that people
terrifying.
Are afraid to talk against there was just like some of the examples of the restrictions was just the big thing that's really, really, really hit me. Never mind all the Amadilia hijacking and the panic attacks and anxiety and the isolation for the old people in their last years, or people being deprived of their life and their livelihoods, is their justification of treating people with cancer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost a couple of people through suicide and cancer in the last year, and I've lost known to COVID, and they've prioritised this thing and neglected all these other health things, you know, that kill a lot more people every year.
Yes.
Every year, it can be guaranteed. But we'll neglect that for this. And the other thing is that you're happy to do lockdown, but you're not building a hospital.
Mm.
If you really, really cared about people's health, wouldn't you be building hospitals and paying nurses well?
Yes.
But you're happy to close small businesses. Like, that doesn't... And how does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense. And, you know, you can't buy kids' clothes because they're non-essential. So kids' clothes shops are closed. But you can get Botox. Now, I don't get Botox myself.
Huh.
But I know a lot who have just been flying in every couple of months over the last year to get their Botox done.
It's for a chin wag and a nose job.
So, you know, like, you can go in and get your teeth whitened at the dentist and you can get your Botox done in your aesthetic clinic. But you can't buy your child a new pair of socks for school if he's lucky enough to be going back to school.
Oh.
That is there's just a lot of that kind of thing. But without going down, let's not. I promised myself that I wouldn't do
I'm
the
glad
COVID.
To be talking.
I know you're loving the chat. The COVID thing, because I'm so fed up with it. I'm so fed up with lockdown, but. You know, it's very prevalent in what you're saying, because there is that aspect of the mental health pandemic that we're going through and that we're going to go, not even as it stands, but the after effect of all of this. Like, are our government putting stuff in place now for when this does end and they need to pick up the pieces of the mental health of the country? I can guarantee you no, because they haven't been doing it up until this point.
It was very, just coming back from the funeral and, you know, we're like, can we, it's going to these COVID hug politics.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it, you're getting a hug, man.
Yes.
But it's like, these are like very important years for kids in cognitive development. And this,
absolutely.
You know, who knows what this effect of this mass isolation will do.
But yes.
As humans, we're built that this is like... If you're isolated, you're going to be killed by a woolly mammoth. In our collective, or not our collective, or in our own conscious brain, we've been trained that if we're isolated or rejected, we're in trouble.
Mm.
And kids are being taught not... Who knows how they're going to deal with touch. Like, touching someone else's skin is actually quite important for your...
Yeah.
As a hug, or whenever, whatever way you want it, when you're allowed. But touches and touching humans, we're social beings, and this, the effect of this to the older generation and the younger generation, who knows what it's going to be like, because you need to be hugging people and we're teaching kids not to touch. And it's such a crazy...
It really is. And I'm so happy that you brought up about hugging, because I am like... To the point that when I was in therapy and I was like, I don't understand why I crave hugs. crave them to the point where I would look at someone in a pub when pubs are open and be like, I'd love to give her a hug, or I'd love to give him a hug. Like, love it. Totally, like the serotonin, all of the good stuff. It just, I feel it so much. I would even hug a tree. I have hugged a tree. I do hug trees. But where am I going with this?
Hugs, not drugs.
It's that thing where I'm like, don't say on air that you hug trees. Yeah. It doesn't go down well. But it's so important. And the first lockdown, you know, my mom rang me and said, I've got good word now that this is going to go on for a couple of weeks. And I was like, who said that? RTE? I was like, yeah, it's not, I'll be fine. So she was telling me to move home, to go back to Waterford, to, you know, so we could all be together while the end of the world was happening. And I was like, mom, this will be over in like 2-3 weeks. Don't worry about it. You'll be grand. And all my housemates moved out. And so they went to like home or a partner's house, stuff like that. And I was like, unreal. I get the house to myself. Brilliant.
That's when you start to talk in trees.
Then it was 6 months in, and I literally had lived on my own for 6 months. And it was only one day I actually went like, when's the last time I had a conversation with someone in real life? Like, it was insane. And then I was like, that's it. Hugs are coming. Yeah. And I was literally ringing my friends being like, I'm coming over and we're going to hug. Yeah,
yeah. It's a Mexican standoff as well.
It really is. Yeah.
Trade or barter on good hugs. Like, I know who gives a bad one. I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
And I know I give good ones. So like, just leave me a little review on Trustpilot there.
5 stars.
Proper Trustpilot. Yeah.
But, you know, in all of this, like everything that you've been through, and do you kind of, I know you said that you are in a way, a sense, glad that you went through what you did. But do you feel that in some way this is your purpose, that this has all been orchestrated? You know, where is your belief? Do you believe in something higher?
Ah, I'm about to say it on the podcast.
Go for it.
I don't know what it is or what it is.
Yes.
It isn't. I believe in Mother Nature.
Yes.
And I feel like the more you smile at her, the more she'll smile back at you.
Yes. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's just, I don't know if you smile at people as well. Like any dogs, whatever, they'll always smile back at you.
Yeah.
And I had on full Joe Rogan, but I had a lovely DMT trip there last year, and that kind of changed it. I was rate myself 0 to 10, and 0 is suicidal and 10 is dog head out car window.
Yeah.
And the DMT kind of changed my perspective on compassion and love, and it's just, I always appreciated nature, but the day after, I was crying, just going looking at fields and stuff of pure joy. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just, there's this lady, I don't know what her name is, I just call her Mother Nature. And another thing, I'll tell you, she dragged me through a universe of like colour and just pure love, and just, and then it was with her hands. It was like, she'd done there, created everything with her hands, and there was kind of henna on her hands, and all these objects I recognised someone, and it was like everything, every colour or everything I was being dragged through, and it was like pure bliss. And she's the lady I believe in, whoever she is. But I met her, no, I didn't. I was in the Buddhist Meditation Centre in Cork, Dojin, and she was there. So I don't know. It's like, whoa, that was the exact same face.
What?
Yeah.
Before you'd met her?
I'd done the DMT and then I'd seen her. And then my friend, my best friend, he made this very similar trip. And I sent him a photo and he goes, that's your one. Only she's a different colour. But
hold on a minute.
Yeah,
I'm getting goosebumps now even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Is there no way you would have seen her before?
I would have seen her before, sorry.
Fuck, I thought you meant you'd never seen this woman before and she was in your trip and then you saw her in real life.
Well, I had never taken notice of her.
Okay.
I'd never had.
Okay.
I'm sure I would have seen her in some media, you know.
And then I looked into
old artworks and stuff of...
Still, that is very strange, isn't it?
It's so strange.
And who is this magical woman that's down in Cork?
I actually don't want to know.
Really?
No. Like, so, you know, sorry, it's an ornament in the... I didn't say...
Oh, she's not real.
It was a representation of her.
Sorry.
It's a god.
No
way.
See, I thought you meant it's a woman down in Cork, as in like she's walking through Lidl now doing her shopping.
How are you getting on, boy?
I was like, fuck, I want to get her on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'll ask her.
Who is this mythical being that's like appearing in DMT shirts?
Yeah, she's a...
But what was
play for Cork Miners? Sean Ogo Halpine.
What was your like? First of all, what led you to DMT?
Me and my best friend. I don't know if I don't want to rat him out.
Oh, don't rat him out. Rat yourself out.
But we've been looking for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And then I finally found someone that would. Get it?
Yeah.
And I had it for a long time, and I was like, I don't feel like I'm in the right place yet.
Mm.
Like, I was in the right place mentally.
That's a key detail.
But for some reason, it was just nothing had changed in my mood or anything, but I just felt like the time was right.
Yeah.
And I said it to him, and he's like, yeah, it feels like the time is finally right for me too.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. It was, it made, the other thing, the other experience, sorry, that really, really changed everything then on that trip was I've always been kind of cool about death. I don't really care about it.
Mm.
It just, one of the realizations during it was that I didn't find out the actual truth until after, but I was like, this is what happens when we die. This is where we go for a brief amount of time. And I was chatting to that one from Cork briefly, just communicating like telepathy. I said, this is where we go when we die. And she said, yep, you're correct. And then I sound batshit crazy.
No, you don't. You don't at all.
Okay.
You don't at all. Not at all.
Then she goes, yeah. And I said, oh, shit, I'm not dead, am I? I said, no, you're not dead, you fool. That's not exactly word for word. And then I was shook from the experience in a joyful way.
Yeah.
And I cried straight after and stuff, and so did my mate. And I Googled it after, and then it turns out that DMT is released when you die. So we dream with DMT, but there's this PhD doctoral research into people that have had near-death experiences, and DMT is released. And then those that just have it, and the same kind of attitude towards living and dying. But the thing that gave me the most comfort was for people I've lost that I really, really love. Like I've lost, and I was kind of worried, and it kind of gave me a lot of comfort into knowing that if it's just a brief thing, but as long as that's what they experience when they go, then it's such a comforting thing to know.
Experience when they go, and would you believe or would you like to think that they are in a constant state of that?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah. That's the
massive
question.
Rabbit hole of afterlife, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an instant thing.
Mm.
I don't know. I was in the room when my auntie died. 10 years ago. And I felt something leave as well. So I don't know what that is, but I could feel it wasn't. You could feel something move out of the room.
Mm.
Just lift up from the floor up to the roof. I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know.
See, but it's very, very interesting to even hear you say that, because you're talking about your experience, and two, you're saying, I don't know. So they're two very valid, very important pieces of information in that we don't know.
No.
And all we have is our experience of it. And that's where I sit with it. But as much as you can sit here and go, but this is how I experienced it and it is as real or was as real as anything, there can equally be someone sat at the other side of the table from you that can say, but this is the logical reason why that was and different things. And the answer is, we'll never know.
No.
So that's where belief systems, I believe, come into it, in that we are all free to believe whatever we want in this life.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. And to sit as in harmony is that we should all respect each other's belief systems, no matter what. Once they're not, you know, imposing on other people or whatever. Exactly. But, you know, that I always had this thing of like, if I look at the sky and I see blue and you look at the sky and you see blue, how do we know that we're both seeing the same color blue? You know?
Yeah.
And that, like, I mean, you wouldn't want to smoke a joint and think about that. Well, I wouldn't, because I'd be under this bleeding table. Yeah. You know, but it just is one of those things where it's the beauty of it.
It's your representation of, absolutely, or in your belief. Yeah. And I love at that point of, I love seeing people have beliefs.
Mm.
And even if I don't believe in them, it's such a lovely thing to see.
Like, yeah.
I hate when people try to impose theirs on others, or just like try to knock someone for having theirs. Like,
yeah,
some people believe in, you know, soccer is there,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
and we all have our own little religions, even if you don't know it or not. You know, some people do jiu-jitsu, and that is like
the church of jiu-jitsu,
exactly.
Yeah.
And even if you go to a gym, which we haven't in a while, but
yeah,
you know, the music's playing, like it's a, like it's yeah, it's like there's people praying, it's got these, it's the kind of same belief systems. And it's lovely to have your own, and it's lovely to come up with your kind of... I don't have any, though. What am I on about?
Yeah.
I just have these little experiences.
But you've had touches, experiences of what I imagine, something that is almost greater than you, you know, or that you've questioned or wondered. So that in itself is, you know... Like, it's not as if you're sat here a big atheist being like, nothing exists, everything is fake.
Yeah.
You know, you've had these moments of questioning and wondering and you know, experience.
It's, yeah, like there's it's as humans, we're kind of arrogant and towards science. And we're like kind of, oh, a scientist said this is okay. But like, if, just for like a plain example, would be black is a colour. It's not, it's just all these colours that our eyes can't comprehend.
Black is?
Yeah, so you'll never get black jeans that match a black hoodie and stuff, because they're all colours that we can't comprehend.
Wow.
It's just, well, however, the, you know, the light bounces off them. So we would ignorantly say that dogs are colourblind, but maybe they see more colours than us in things and stuff like that. But then if you can apply that to how much we don't know about things that could even be around here, you know, just, we're just basing off of, oh, human, we can see, sense, you know, smell this, but there's so many other things that we might not be sensing. Now, I don't know what they are, but we tend to base a lot of our judgment off science, which is the nature of science is to prove itself wrong.
Yes.
So now they go and tell you that the dinosaurs had feathers and plume. Yeah. What? It's Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And there's all these things that we're now, I don't think we'll ever even know. And if we did know, I don't think we'd be able to comprehend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just maybe there's a bit of comfort in just being like, ah, oh, fuck it, I can't understand this.
Absolutely. And as and on the subject of science and belief systems, you know, science has now turned into a belief system.
Yeah.
And it's turned into a dogmatic religion, you know, where people are so blindly follow the science. And it's like, do your own research and follow what science, you know. You know, we now have scientific technicians that are, you know, posing as scientists. And we've corporations who are hiring quote unquote scientists to give the information or give the scientific finding that, you know, will get their product on shelves or get something cleared or, you know, so they're, you know, and it doesn't stop, you know, it's infiltrated health and it's infiltrated, you know, the purest aspects of humanity. But that is for another day.
It always pissed me off that they'd send, we can send a movie. Think about it, we can send a movie through the air.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't, not too bothered about figuring out mental health.
Yes.
Or you, I'm going to send a car around the world in orbit.
Yes.
Attached to a rocket.
My favourite one is the bees. You know, we as humans need bees very much to live. They're extremely important to us. And, you know, this whole new thing of fuck actually saving the bees. Let's create robotic bees, which is what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is now projecting for 2030, is that robotic bees that will do the same as, how ignorant do you have to be to think that you can replicate nature with any kind of machinery? Oh, yeah. But they do. So, I mean, there we go. It's watch out for those robotic bees coming 2030.
Really harrowing.
Isn't it just? I mean,
bees can fuck you up as a natural bee.
Yes.
Imagine with some hinges and screws and bolts.
Yeah. Or even the production, like even from a, you know, honey production element. It's just everything is getting so fake and processed. Mm. And that's not where I want to be, you know.
We'll move to
Arklow.
You're looking for natural.
You want natural.
Organic.
Arklow. The answer to all your dreams.
That's not, I'm going to start tourism, Arklow Tourism Board.
I'm telling you, they get a little commune going down there, Arklow.
Look at our real bees.
Before I let you go, I would like you to tell me what you think is the biggest changes that you've experienced as a person in the last 10 years. How have you changed?
It sounds kind of cliche now, but just I found I was very lost and I had no purpose, and now I found a purpose. I think, I was less mindful. Just chaos of a human being, like no focus or no empathy or no control over any of my thoughts. Mm. I remember the day I first thought about thinking. I was like, oh, you're actually thinking. Like, I was just an animal using my my subconscious was doing everything.
Yeah.
And then just the change was to start meditating and become more mindful of what I do and what effect it might have to someone else. And maybe if it hurts someone or...
What are your daily practices, or do you have, like, do you meditate, journal? Outside of your creative realm of graffiti and, you know, merchandise and streetwear and...
Yeah, I haven't been meditating as much lately, and you can see some of my speech is kind of just going all over the place, but I would usually meditate in the morning at, like, 8 o'clock or when I was in the office, actually. I just meditate and maybe get up at 8 and meditate for 15 minutes, fall asleep and be half an hour late for work. Every day. And it was lovely.
Yeah.
But my mind was so clear.
Yeah.
I keep a journal, and I basically, if I don't, I've started exercising.
Mm.
I don't eat healthy. I eat cake. I eat as I please. And then
tush.
I balance that with running and stuff. It used to be rugby, but I can't stick my head in between other people's arses at the moment.
Don't ever try jiu-jitsu.
Oh, no, I don't. It's the least COVID-friendly thing. Yeah. And rugby is too fun. But yeah, I am a chaotic bastard.
And
I have to balance. So if I give myself enough structure, enough work done, then I can reward myself with going a bit chaotic. And you know, you were saying about your previous, Carl Jung, the famous psychoanalyst of the shadow.
Yes,
I have to feed my shadow, and I'm a bold man. Yeah. As in, like, with graffiti, that gives me my adrenaline.
Yeah,
the adrenaline I need, and just other just whatever it may be, I just need to feed that. In a way that will never harm anyone else.
Yes.
And that won't harm me. And just balancing this, because I know I'm not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect, but just keep, if I give myself that structure, I can have that chaos. But if I go too structured, I'm just going to have a complete blowout, and if I go too chaotic, I'll have problems. So I've become miraculously good at treading that little tightrope, mm-hmm. and like I've fallen off quite a few times, but I know exactly what I have to do. And it means taking magnesium, it means meditating, I think, vitamin D3. Some foods I avoid, just with the phenylalanine and aspartame.
Yeah.
For ADHD.
And, yeah. What foods would you be avoiding?
Just the kind of diet stuff.
Yeah.
Those chemically kind of things my focus goes.
Yeah.
It could be like flavoured water, and I can start not sleeping right or not thinking straight. But yeah, what else would I do? Yeah, the writing. I'd write to myself quite a bit and kind of explain the inexplicable to myself. And then painting is just painting and helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Painting is a therapy for myself. And I think a good hobby to have is to show people that you love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you tell people that you love them?
All the time, yeah.
Mm.
Well,
me too.
Yeah, do you? Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. To the Fontaines lyric, did you see? Tell your mother that you love her. But yeah, and seeing them happy makes me happy too. So
yes.
And seeing them sad makes me sad too. So.
That's when you know you're pure of heart, when you can share, when you can feel other people's joy as your own.
Yeah.
Or you can celebrate their wins as your own. That's when you know you're pure of heart. Definitely.
Oh, really?
Yes, 100%. 100%. You see people who, like, you know, even their closest friends, something good happens to them or they have good news, and they instantly just go to, but why haven't I got that? Or I wish I had that. You know, I would have been like that years ago, because I didn't know how to have my own joy.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than try and figure out where to get my own joy, I would just feel bad for other people's.
Yeah.
And then when you conquer that, when you figure out, you know, how to not be, pretty good.
It is, actually. Sorry, I know I used to be like that before, but I never would have considered it to be, you know, it was just me hating myself and projecting it onto others. It's kind of, well, I actually never got to say it earlier when I was just talking about how it changed me, suicidal it was going on for quite a long time, like since I was 12, or I was kind of always having suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
But getting through, I hate that this is Winston fucking Churchill's quote. If you're walking through hell, you might as well keep walking.
Yeah.
And when I was walking through hell, there was no hope in sight. Mm. But if anyone's listening that is going through hell now, I'm not going to say, oh, I can promise you, but I can guarantee you, you will become, if you get through this, you will become one of the most resilient people that you can meet. I promise you that. I can't promise what will happen. I promise you, if you can do that, you can fucking do anything. And any physical pain, I've cursed way too much, any physical pain is not a patch on this mental health. You can put yourself through the ringer and anything else.
Yes.
Just look after your mind and stress and sleep. Watch out for those too.
Yes.
But if you can get through this moment of hell, you'll be a much, much stronger person than the muggles.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. What a perfect way to end the podcast. Before I let you go, hopes for Bipolar Bear Aware?
Petting farm. And selling magic carpet. Hopes for Bipolar Bear. Well, I've been saying this since day one, but I want to create a creative arts therapy centre.
Oh, amazing.
And I will do it. It's my plan. It was a 10-year plan.
Yeah.
I'm 4 or 5 years into it, so it's going to happen.
Wow, amazing.
I've nothing to base that off.
Location?
I've nothing to base that off, by the way. I believe in it. Location,
Belief is all you need. Yeah. And a location.
I have little buildings and stuff, and I haven't even mapped out in my head. It's so there's cognitive behavioral therapy and the biopsychological social model. You know, you look after your biological health and your psychological health and your social health, and you will be okay.
Okay.
But then creative arts as forms of expression, now where people can express themselves through Lego and stuff, but it would be to dance, music, painting, reading and writing, and nearly that's what I want for BPB. And downstairs is a little place for coffee and some of the clothes.
That's where I'll be.
But I think it would just breed... I just like it to be like a community or a hub for people. Just even if you're, I can't dance, but I'm going to give it a bash. But
absolutely,
it'd be so. I've done a lot of art therapy, and just what comes out of your subconscious, and you can psychoanalyze that. It doesn't have to be a painting, or the dance doesn't have to be good, or the writing doesn't have to be good, but you can analyze that and then work on these mental flaws, or just the fact that you've taking it out from the ruminations of your thoughts or your brain, and to put it out into the atmosphere there, it kind of makes it more, it's tangible.
Yes.
And you can decipher it then. So that's kind of, if good art comes out of this place, I'm speaking as if it's built. If good art comes out of this place, fair enough. But if not, like, whatever. And then just keep building these places to make people more comfortable with expressing themselves in any medium.
So wow.
The clothes is whatever. I have loads of plans for clothes. Bipolar kind of clothes where it's, you know, reversible. And there's always two sides to something. So I'd like to do the clothes like
that. Wow, that's very clever.
But that's the 10-year plan. And then just keep pushing on that. And
oh man, I wish you the best of luck with it. I really do.
Thanks.
If I had a couple of million quid, I'd be like throwing it on the table right now. I really would. I promise you, if my goals come into play, I will come back and look after you, okay?
I'm glad this is recorded.
I promise. You have my words. My first million, I'm going to need to buy a gaff for myself, and I have my own shit to do, right? When I get to 5 million.
5 million.
Yes.
Go down, no.
2.5 million. 2.5. I have a lot of shit I want to get, okay? I need to feed my soul with...
Gucci
and Prada. And hookers and cocaine.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about all that.
I've only been going to, like, you know, the point of what's the word I'm looking for? What word do, when I'm doing this, what word do you see?
What word?
Yeah,
I can tell you what it's not.
You know, I'm meditating right now. God, what's the word? Enlightenment. Enlightenment.
What
God.
Word do I
never,
see?
Never, never. I'm never going to ask you to play Pictionary anyway. Is that what you're like? Enlightenment. I'm only on the path to enlightenment so I can ruin it all when I make loads of money and go on the cocaine again. But no, I promise. 2 million.
2 million then.
2 million. I'm going to donate.
I'm going to be banging on your door. Same.
If I've 2 million, I promise hereby right now that if I make 2 million quid profit.
Stipulations. All these little T's and T's.
I'm only joking. I promise you, if I make it go over my first million, I will invest in your community hub.
Deal.
Only if I have a lifetime
supply.
A lifetime entry band.
VIP area.
VIP area. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a parking space.
Brilliant. I don't drive, but I'll take it.
Oh, you can just stand there.
See, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. That was a great chat. It flew. It was very interesting. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good thing.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million again for
no problem. Where can our listeners find out more about BPB?
On Instagram, we're bipolarbear.where. Facebook, or just if you Google Bipolar Bear, hopefully come up if the SEO is any good. And if anyone's like have kind of lost their, having problems with their thoughts, or, you know, you can message in and we'll try, you know, sometimes it's just good to just shoot out or talk, shoot out a little problem, and mm-hmm. then even as you write it, it might make it feel better. So just,
yes.
you can message us on Instagram is probably the best thing, or email. If you're having little problems, or if one of your friends or family are, just you can hit us up. We've been through the ringer, so we know what's available and what's the not qualified, so I can't say what's the best, but we know what's available for you.
You know what's worked for you.
Worked for me and what's worked for the people. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very, very lovely final word there from Steve. Thank you very much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.